Throughout the so-called wisdom literature of the Old Testament, godly wisdom is explored and defined and commended to God's people. In books such as Job, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon, living wisely and uprightly in the sight of God is the dominant theme. Biblical wisdom has been defined as an orientation that allows one to live in harmony with God's ordering of the world. Or more simply, it is skill in the art of godly living. In the 9th chapter of the book of Proverbs, both God's wisdom and the world's foolishness are personified as women. In the tradition, they have sometimes been called Lady Wisdom and Dame Folly. The author of Proverbs paints a picture of two very different types of women. We heard a bit about Lady Wisdom in our first lesson this morning. Each of these women, Wisdom and Folly, call out and invite passers-by to enter their homes to dine, to eat. But their demeanor, their food, and the consequences of accepting their invitation could not be more different. Lady Wisdom, Proverbs tells us, Lady Wisdom has built a fine house with 7 pillars, with ample room to seat all that accept her invitation. She has carefully prepared her food. She has mixed her wine and set her table. She calls out to anyone who will listen, "Come, eat of my bread and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight." Dame Folly, on the other hand, has put no effort or care into preparing her house. She sits lazily at her front door. She is loud and ignorant. She too calls out, "Whoever is simple, turn in here." And she invites anyone who will listen to dine with her. But little do her would-be guests know that her bread and her water are stolen. Her other guests are already dead. And anyone seduced into entering through her door will soon be dead also. They do not know, the author of Proverbs writes, they do not know that her guests are already in the depths of Sheol. Well, of course, Jesus was intimately familiar with the Hebrew scriptures, including these images from the book of Proverbs. And he would almost certainly have had in mind these images of Lady Wisdom's banquet and Dame Folly's banquet as he told the parable of the king who held a wedding banquet for his son. Like the banquet of Lady Wisdom in Proverbs, many who have been invited to the king's feast in Jesus' story also refused to attend. Lady Wisdom declares, "I have called you, but you have refused. I have stretched out my hand, yet no one heeded." So too, the king, in the story Jesus tells, sent his servants to call the invited guests. But they laughed and they mocked his invitation. They made fun of Jesus and his disciples. They made excuses. They even murdered his servants, the early Christian missionaries and the prophets of Israel who came before them. Rather than Wisdom's banquet, rather than God's banquet, these people chose instead Dame Folly's deceptions, her false promises, her illusions, which lead only to death. Lady Wisdom, in the book of Proverbs, anxious to bring as many people to her feast as possible, goes out into the streets and she raises her voice. At the busiest corner of town, Proverbs says, she cries out to anyone who will listen, "Come to my banquet. Eat. Get to know me. For whoever finds me," she says, "finds life." So too the king, in Jesus' parable, having given up on the invited guests, sent his servants into the streets. And they called as many people as they could to the wedding feast. These new guests, these strangers, heeded the call and they joined in the feast. These new people, the earliest Christians, the lost, the sinners, the imperfect, the seekers, these new people accepted God's last-minute invitation and they joined in the celebration. Yet even among these, even among those who came to the wedding feast, even among those who had joined the early church, who had heeded the call of Jesus, of wisdom, one was found to be improperly dressed for the occasion. This part of the story strikes us as rather harsh. Indeed, it is harsh. This man was found to be without a wedding garment, without the proper clothing for a wedding from that time. And he was abruptly thrown out of the banquet. The earliest Christians who were hearing this story for the first time, they knew that clothing was a metaphor for the new life in Christ. St. Paul, for example, tells the Roman Christians in his letter to put on, like so much clothing, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells the Ephesians to clothe themselves with righteousness and holiness. And the Colossians to clothe themselves with compassion, kindness, meekness, and patience. And he tells the Galatians that through their baptism, they have been clothed with Christ. And so these early Christians would have known, hearing the parable of the king's wedding banquet, that the man improperly dressed was the one who had, yes, heeded wisdom, had joined the Christian community, but had not truly put on Christ. He had not put on the clothing of righteousness, of compassion and meekness. He had not put on the clothing of patience and holiness. There is an eternal truth in the images of Lady Wisdom and Dame Folly, beckoning us to enter their respective homes. For we each face a choice, or more accurately, thousands upon thousands of little daily choices, of how we will live our lives, whether we will choose wisdom, the wisdom of God, or folly, whether we will choose God and the ways of God, or choose the world and the ways of the world. Of course, those of us who come to this place, to this church, on a regular basis, would like to think of ourselves as being in the first category. We are among those who have heard wisdom's voice, and we seek to join in her feast. We have heard the invitation of the king, and we wish to join the wedding banquet. But in case this might cause us to become self-satisfied, or worse, to look down upon those who have not yet heeded wisdom's call, who have not yet come to the banquet, Jesus reminds us that just coming is not enough. It is a start, to be sure. It is a big step for many, to be sure. But it is not enough. We must also dress for the occasion. And indeed, this is the hardest part. To take off our old clothes, the clothing of pride and selfishness and hardness of heart, the clothing of self-centeredness and alienation from God, to take off these old, tired, heavy clothes, and to put on the clothing of Christ, to put on the clothing of selflessness and humility, the clothing of compassion and generosity. This is a project for all 7 days of the week, not just one. This is, in fact, the project of our entire lives as Christians. It is a constant taking off and putting on. A taking off of the world's clothing and a putting on of the clothing of Christ. This is the task of each of our days until, of course, the last day when we will be fully clothed in robes of white. And when all the guests have arrived, the door will be shut and the feast will begin. And we will rejoice and be glad. Until that day, may God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit bless us and help us. Amen.